conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today.
I've got sass, class, and more than a bit of ass.
I'm an open book, darling, but nobody reads me.
Okay, I just got thoroughly read. Oh my god, my timeline was not as good. I was like, what's the right? I felt like I needed to have a little bit of a Tamara Judge moment.
Yeah.
You know, her taglines are always just like, da, 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 da. And they're never really that great, but
they're
like, they're good.
But they're
never great, and neither is Tamara.
They get the job done. Yeah, she's also terrible.
So it's consistent. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 186.
Oh my gosh.
Holy shit. And, and I am so excited to have a return guest to the People's People's Couch. He is a comedian. He is a writer. He has thoughts and feelings and love and joy about all things Salt Lake City. And I am so glad that he has returned to Andy's Girls. It is none other than Philip Henry. Philip Henry, how are you?
I'm so good, Sarah. Oh my god. This I'm so excited. You picked like I was so excited when you asked me to come. I was like, oh my god, because a new franchise is always like the best time to come. And I'm like, oh, I was like, I have so many thoughts about this. They are great.
They are great. And I also feel like, well, first off, we got like the gift of gifts with a bonus episode this week. So guys, go to bravotv.com, go to Bravo TV's Twitter. It's also, I think, on their YouTube page. Episode 3 is up. We're going to talk about both 2 and 3. And I don't want to say this because I don't want to jinx it, knock on wall, but is this maybe a perfect series, like first season for a new series, at least in like modern American history?
Yeah, I think right now it's giving to me, like, it has very good like Beverly Hills first season vibes, which were like, it was like,
right?
Which was like in like kind of like out of, you were like, oh, this is perfect. This is great. We got to see these people, especially like in Beverly Hills, you got to see like very wealthy people become like mm-hmm. totally unhinged, right? We got so much mm-hmm. good drama out of that season, and you like couldn't have imagined that like Kyle and Kim Richards had like kind of the like deep-seated like hatred for like issues that mm-hmm. they had. And so what this is gearing up, what I think I like about it is that it has it has such a heavy religious focus, which is kind of new, right? Like there have been like religious housewives before, but like the Mormon women, they're like, it's their whole personality, and it like kind of guides their like entire way of life. But then they're also like drunk and acting wild, and then their fights are, these fights are A+. They're like the most silly housewife fights I've ever, like ever, there's ever been.
And I'm glad you brought up the Mormon aspect, because I think for many of us, when we heard Salt Lake City, we thought it was going to be Mormon heavy and almost pristine, where people would be maybe afraid about getting into like the muck of it all. And what's so nice is that we see people in the, is it LDS? In
Latter-day Saints?
Yeah, people in LDS, people who have left of their own accord or been excommunicated because they've chosen to get divorced. We have our first ever Muslim housewife, which is phenomenal, with Jen Shah. We have fucking Meredith giving me the waspiest Hebrew vibes I have ever experienced. And as a Jew with like family members who do not touch each other, I very much see my soul in Meredith, where she's like kind of cold and very dry. I'm like, this is, I know this. This is, this lives
very
in my blood.
Like gay child. And she's like, okay. Like, he's like, this was embarrassing. You have to do something about it. And she's like, okay, I will. I love that he bullies his mom also. Like,
I love it. Brooks for Days, the vibe is there. They're like vibing off each other. I feel like Salt Lake City started, and because of whatever's been happening around the scenes, they like got a new production company or whatever.
Yeah.
Get all this extra footage. They put in a ton of extra time. It's been edited within an inch of its life. And whereas, you know, Potomac veers a little almost like wacky with a wink and a nod, but also with high drama in their edit.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City feels like classic Housewives, but a franchise that has learned its lessons already.
Yeah.
You know, both specific to its own filming experience and also what do people want to see? We want to see glam. We want to see people with actual stakes in relationships.
Yeah.
We want people who care about loving and sometimes harming each other.
Like, yeah.
We want to see Heather genuinely offended at the idea that Lisa Barlow, Mariah carried her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, we want these people who are like, no, I went to college 20 years ago. Do not. And I didn't flash anybody. Like, if someone's saying that you flashed someone is the worst possible thing, and I get it because they like went to Brigham Young or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, iconic. The stakes are so high and also somehow so low.
They're
and I'm
so,
just into it.
It's exactly that. I'm like, these stakes seem so high and so low at the same time. I'm like, who cares if Lisa Barlow doesn't remember you from like 20 years ago? Like, I wouldn't remember people that I went to college with now. And like, that's okay. I'm like, there could be people that would be like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, we probably did hang out a few times and I still don't remember who you are. And it was not that long ago. Like, it wasn't 20 years ago. But it has everything, right? Like, we've got the stakes of that. The like, you smelled like a hospital thing is legitimately maybe the funniest housewife thing ever. And I love that, like, Mary didn't let off of it either, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, I'm not going, she's like, you did smell like the hospital. Because you being upset about me saying it is just as silly as, like, you coming and knowing that you were in a hospital all day and, like, maybe not putting on a little bit of perfume. Right? Like, you know that, like anyone who's been to a hospital knows that smell travels. So it's honestly weird that you didn't, like, I'm like, I know, I've been in a hospital before. Like, the smell travels. You hung out. And, like, maybe it's insensitive to your aunt, but I don't think that's really what she was saying, right? I think, like, Jen Shah is, she's one of those people who seems very visibly uncomfortable when things are not about her. And and which is great in a housewife, right? Because they're always going, like, she's refighting this fight with Mary even after she's apologized, right? And, like, we thought they made up, and now they're like, no, we're going to fight about this again. They're good.
Can I ask you about Jen Shah? How much of Jen Shah do you think is Jen Shah being Jen Shah versus performative housewifery? Everybody that goes on Housewives is going to be in some way an elevated version of themselves. You have a camera crew following you around. You know, millions of people are going to be watching you in 6 months or a year. You feel the pressure. You want to make sure that there are stakes there, that there is conflict there.
Yeah.
But there's some aspect of Jen where I feel like, I don't know if it's all the assistants and all the team, and I'm like, I don't
it
understand
is
where
the,
this is
that's,
coming from.
It, that's the fake part of it for me, is that Jen Shah is, well, she's on a, She's on a mission and like tour to be like the OG housewife of SLC.
Exactly.
Of SLC.
Yes.
And it's very clear, right? Like, she, I'm like, you did a whole, you took production and did a whole filming of you getting ready in your outfit the day before.
The day before.
So that you could like, and you brought like all of your team, this whole team. I'm like, if you have four assistants, then really what it means is you have four bad assistants when you could just have one good assistant. Like, exactly. I'm like, your life, I understand, like, I'm like, your life is not that busy, like, Jen, that you need four assistants. Like, I don't think Bethany Frankel has four assistants, and she's running, like, a multi-million dollar company, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Like, I'm like, what do you have four assistants for? But it is housewifery, like, the whole microphone in the house, like, all of it is, but it's, like, the perfect amount of carrying on for me, where I'm like, I'll let you get away with this, mainly because I love watching the other girls react to it, like, Whitney was so visibly, like, she was looking at her, like, watching, like, at the, like, baby shower. And Whitney's like, I can't believe that she's still fighting with this. And, like, wants to fight with Meredith about this now because Meredith doesn't want to be mad that Mary said that you smelled like a hospital one time. Like, God knows how long ago it was at that. For
right,
it to
amen.
Be, like, this whole thing. I just think that she's putting on, she's absolutely putting on for the cameras, but like that's kind of her job, I guess. And if she didn't
True.
Have this, if she didn't have this fight with Mary, we'd probably like, there'd be like a lack of conflict in the show right now, right? Like this big fight with Mary is kind of like setting everybody, like is setting all of the housewives on this like course to have like something about it. Because I think Heather's got to get over the Lisa Barlow thing eventually. Like she doesn't remember you. It's okay. I like Lisa's energy too. She's very like a very New York energy about her.
I love how passive aggressive she is.
Oh.
And also like when she's aggressive, she's so dry that you don't really realize you've been stabbed until a minute later when you're like, "Where's this blood coming from?"
Yeah.
Like it's, she's like very much like she will take no prisoners. She will threaten you. Like when, what's her, is it Whitney? When Whitney, I just forgot her name for a second, apologies, said that whole thing about, you know, your bartenders were drinking my product, essentially like stealing product, and were a hot mess. And she called her after to say, here's the deal. If you talk shit about my company again, I'm going to say that you're sleeping with other people. Like that is, to go that quick and that hard this early, or at least in our experiences
yeah.
this early, and to truly get so visibly exasperated by some of this stuff. Like, you can tell she's just annoyed by Heather. Like, the energy that each of them brings, they're all so important.
Yeah, it's really, well, because, like, Heather is, like, seems like she's running, like, she is desperate for, like, acceptance, right? Like, she just, she like really has to be taken seriously and she feels like the other girls like really aren't, and I think it's also that like she's a divorcee and like she's and everyone else is married, even though Meredith is like separated now, but like her husband's still around kind of right? And so for Heather, she's kind of like she's on the outside and she's like desperate for that acceptance in the group. And then I feel they do just have such a, everybody's weirded out by Mary's situation. Like that's like a collective shared thing. That's also very interesting to me also because she's black, right? For me. And I'm like, this, like marrying your step granddad, like has white people written all over it. Like it really does. So it is, it's like when we get, like, I love that in the sense that, like, I love, like, when bad, like, gay people do bad things and let's, like, be gay, do crimes. But, like, we need gay villains, right? Like, not every gay should be a hero. Like, everybody,
yes!
we shouldn't like them all. And so, like, I love having Mary and, like, living this, like, in this, like, hillbilly drama where she's like, I married my step-granddaddy so that I could get a nice house. And I'm like, oh, and had a baby with him at that.
Had a baby
I'm
with
like,
him.
You have a child. I didn't, like, I, and that didn't register, like, that never clicked to me until, like, this last, I was like, oh, She didn't just marry him. She actually had a kid with him, too, which is very, like, strange. It was like, oh, you, like, really married your granddad? Like, what a weird... It is... It's so strange to me, but really, really good. Everybody's, like, collectively weirded out by that. And then, like, Whitney's, like, excommunicated. Whitney is, like, God to your health life to me. Like, she is already, like, bye. I love Whitney.
Whitney, I love that for you.
I love her.
Tell me more, because some people are like, Whitney, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, Whitney is incredibly important. You need somebody with, like, quasi-Cynthia Bailey vibes
Every franchise.
You really do. You need to have a soft beta who empathizes, who cares, who's obviously a good person. Tell me about your love for her. I want to hear all about this.
I just really like, she has good vibes for me. She's like, I'm married. She's like, listen, I got divorced at 17, which I'm like, babe, you got married at 17 is the story. And she's like, I got divorced at 17 and married a man 18 years my senior. And I'm like, the story is that you got married at 17. And she's like, and I think she was pregnant at the time or something. And she said
they've been together for a long time. They've been together for like 15 years, married for 10, like a long time.
And so I'm like, you're still together, which is like a testament to the fact that you made the right decision, right? Like, you're
amen.
Like,
100%.
good for you guys. But it does have, she has these like strange, like, young Luann vibes married to someone much older than her, kind of like living this life, but they seem to be like very supportive of each other, but she running like, she's the only one who seems like, she seems normal in comparison to everybody else on the show, which is very, very odd, considering, like, she's a little odd, too. I like the party that, like, I was like, she threw a 1920s party. It's so basic, but she really leaned into it. She's like, I'm throwing a 1920s party, and I'm going to be dressed, and she stays in character the whole time through the party, I love you. I just do. I don't know what it is. I click with
her.
I
feel like if we looked at Salt Lake City through the lens of, like, Us. Remember the movie Us with Jordan Peele?
Yeah.
And you were thinking about, like, who's your tether? Like, who's the person? And I don't mean this in, like, the tether is in, like, a negative way.
But,
like, who is the housewife that this Salt Lake City housewife seems like could have been in another world? I think, personally, less Luann and more Stephanie Holman. I think somebody who is, like, empathetic, sweet, living a very good life, has some stuff, like, Stephanie struggles with, like, depression, yada yada, and Whitney's stuff with her father and addiction and supporting him financially, emotionally, spiritually, however
that's
else
fair.
Right, like, do you see, I see a little bit of a vibe of somebody who is important, who's key, who's less problematic probably than several other of these women, and who, like, wants to support people and is also like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
You know, like, she's not necessarily interested in playing in the mud. And there are times where she's going to get a little bit splashed, you know? And I think it's one of the reasons why I'm like mesmerized by Salt Lake City, because you have so many like drama. You have like so many different kinds of personalities that feel like they exist on other franchises that have never before existed together in a collective.
Yeah.
And that is why I think everyone is losing their mind. So if there was one housewife for you to feel spiritually on Salt Lake City, like, you're like, this is my person, is that Whitney for you?
I love Whitney. I don't think that she's like, I don't think that, like, I don't see her as a me. I think, like, in every season you want to find like a housewife that, like, is like, this is me, I'm her. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I don't think that I don't think Whitney's that person for me, but I think that I like Whitney. Honestly, if we're being honest about who I am, I'm absolutely Jen Shah. Like, that is, like, I'm absolutely, like, I'm that girl. Like, if I'm on a housewife show, I'm like, yeah, I have three assistants, whatever. Like, putting on and, like, wanting to fight and wanting the attention is absolutely me. I know that about myself, which is fine. It's either Jen Shah or it's Meredith for me. And I'd say it's more Jen Shaw than anything. Like, she is wild, but in the way that, like, I feel like I don't hold it against her in any way. I'm like, I get it. This is her thing, especially because, like, her husband's always gone. Her kids, like, seem very uninterested in her and, like, her antics. And so she's like, this is my life now, is Real Housewives. And she's put all of her energy into it. She doesn't even have anyone to film with about the drama. She films with her assistant to talk about it. She's like,
that's a downer.
I'm like, you're filming with Crystal. Like, it says Crystal's second assistant. And you're like, Meredith says that we can't have a sleepover tomorrow. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you should be having this conversation with another housewife, not like one of your assistants. It's very strange.
Or a friend.
Yeah, like, or a friend that you have that maybe isn't on the show. But even like Kim Zolciak, when she didn't have someone to film, she's like, I'm calling Miss J, or like, I'm calling Miss Lawrence, or like, they're calling Derek J, or somebody else to come in and like play friend for them. And she's like, nah, just like this girl I got on payroll, like, she'll do. And I'm like, this woman is not invested in this in the same way. You need to have like an actual friend that you can talk to.
I completely agree. And I think that Kim Zolciak is a really great comparison, because you look at Kim Zolciak. I mean, I haven't watched Party for the Party in a very long time, but from what I understand from previews I'm forced to sit through in between watching Salt Lake City 800 times. You know, the whole thing with Kim is that she has that chef, Tracy, and she's become very isolated. Like, they're very isolationist. It's only now Kim, from what I understand, Kim and Croy and their kids and the chef. And that is... if that is your real life, that is slightly terrifying. Yeah. That, like, it's great to be like, my kids are my best friends. But, like, you need to have people outside your house to talk to, people who are contemporaries, who are the same fucking age as you, or at least act as maturely or lack thereof as you.
Yeah.
And when you look at Jen, it's like, okay, well, maybe that's one of the reasons why she comes into these scenes, these moments, these events at like 100.
Yeah.
Because she's surrounded by people who are only existing to act as an echo chamber and to amp her up. She wants to be the star. She signed on in her head. She was like, my contract says that I'm the lead snowflake. Like, she's like the center snow in her heart and mind. And for many viewers, they're like, yeah, this is... she has taken on that kind of mystique. I don't think she will live in that space terribly long. I think she's shining bright.
Who do you think's going to fill it?
Well, so here's the thing. Okay, so I love that you are a Jen Shaw Meredith Rising. I, the second that I met Heather Gay, like, in my head, I had a Zoom with her, I die for her. I just feel for her. I love her as a little bit of an outsider to this world that she used to inhabit, where she like wants it, but she wants to critique it. She knows it's unhealthy to like live in the world where you're trying for perfection.
Yeah.
But she also started a very successful plastic surgery company or health spa with needles.
Yeah.
Because she knows that is like the ethos of so many of these women. So she's like critiquing it, but she's also lonely and she wants to have a part of it, ideally with someone that she like wants to fuck, because apparently that's like her learning. I mean, I look at Heather Gay and I'm like, Heather Gay, I am you. I want to be you. I already exist as you, so I don't even know what that dream would contain. But I love her. I think she's so empathetic. I love her, how expressive she is when she feels like she's being personally insulted. There is no way of hiding it on her face. I am exactly the same way.
Yeah.
The way that she reacts where she's just like disgusted by something. I learned a lot apparently about myself. I didn't know that a thumbs up emoji was a go fuck yourself until I watched. I had no idea. I send thumbs up emojis. But she knew, like, Heather Gay knew when the producer in the confessional, which was such a great moment. She was already so rattled.
Yeah.
And the producer was like, remember that moment where you sent a thumbs up? And she's like, was that a fuck you? You fucking bet it
was.
That stupid
like,
that is the kind of energy I aspire.
I I do like her. This it's strangely enough, I think that Jen is like on OG track, but I don't know if she has mm-hmm. it in her to sustain it, right? Like mm-hmm. the job, exactly. Like that's a hard one. That's the heaviest crown to wear. And most of them end up getting chopped anyway. Because people end up sick of them, and it people don't like you in the long run, right? Like I think like Lisa Vanderpump was like mm-hmm. that in Beverly Hills, and by the end of it, I was like, I couldn't wait for her to be off the show, right? Mm-hmm. And even like Teresa went off, like, and was like, well, we don't like you anymore either. We're losing Ramona is insufferable at this point, right? And I can't, and she's, I'm like, why do we keep her here? Like, the thing with Ramona also is that she knows it's her job and she engages in it. Some people, like, there are other OGs who don't do, like, Nene, like, has reached a point where she's like, mm-hmm. she doesn't understand. Like, this is your job, babe. Like, mm-hmm. you have to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you have to retain. And that's the thing. I think the job of being an OG takes a lot of work. And I don't know that it's sustainable, like, that Jen can sustain it.
I mean, Lord knows she does love herself some recycled materials, judging by that Biden dress she was wearing. It was like, did you see that photo of her on Instagram, Jen Shah, where she's covered campaign? Phenomenal. Signage, key. She understands. She supports the environment in which she's trying to remain in the midst. The one pushback that I would say is I completely agree with you about LVP. I completely agree with you about Ramona, who's just like so tired. And I'm so concerned about next season of New York, judging by some little clips and stuff we've seen. I have a lot of fear about it. But on New Jersey, here's the thing with Teresa. Teresa's somebody that I hated. I loathed her during Strippergate. I was like, get this woman fucking away from me. Team Melissa for life. Team Caroline. Like, we're going to talk about Danielle being the clown. I say clownery all over this. And then she went away. She went to camp. She came back. And I was like, do I love her now? I don't know what it is. I think because Teresa, at the end of the day, she will do nothing but work. She only cares about cashing the check when it comes to Bravo. And I mean that in the best. I mean that is like the greatest compliment. Like, she is a housewife. She goes to all of these appearances, all of these events. She's, Lord knows, supporting her entire family. But she doesn't necessarily fall into the trap of becoming so personally invested that she will self-implode as she used to.
Yeah.
Like, I think now she's in a spot where she's like, I'm super famous. I've made a shit ton of money from this. I'm going to continue to crank out those checks. Pay me in cash. Do whatever you need to do. Like, I'm sure she shows up with a fucking big ass LV Speedy from 15 years ago and they just slide them in by the 20s in there. She shuffles off on her merry way. But I love that she is disconnected enough from like her relationships with the other women and also from the show that even if she's strategic, like no other housewife do we know would have the finale that she had last season where she's like, you guys aren't going to discuss this on camera. Oh, no, it's 100% going to be on camera. She has a tantrum, locked herself in her bedroom. And I come out of that thinking, like, God, is she still so fucking adorable? I can't get enough of her. Like, I don't know what it is. If you told me in 2020 or 2032, whatever year we're actually in, that I would feel so much like, I don't even know what it is. Like, good vibes about Teresa, I would be like, go fuck yourself. Like, what fraud did I participate in? Like, what papers did I erroneously sign? And yet here we are. But I love the basic comparison because the meat of that is really key. And I think when people come in and they're like, I'm writing this story, it is great. It sets us up for success, but it's not necessarily as long lasting as being, for example, a strong beta, you know, like regardless of how you feel, somebody who's coming in, who's a team player, who's more empathetic or at least more strategic about how they show their empathy. I mean, I always think when I think LVP, I think LVP and Kyle.
Yeah.
And the fact that Kyle, I don't think there's any signs of her going anywhere. And I think a lot of that is based on the fact that, like, she is able to kind of stay in the background sometimes, you know, like, even aside from being strategic. And I look at people on Salt Lake City and I think like Heather is a listener. Like Heather doesn't always need to be the one driving the conversation or the conflict. Like if you say something to her and she disagrees with it, she's going to react to that. But it feels like it comes from a real place versus Jen, where I'm like, I know that you're upset about this and I know that you're annoyed by it. But as we discussed, because she has this costume around her of these fake assistants, like very Sonia-esque, where she's renting, you know, a meeting room by the hour as well as a COO, like she's surrounded by these people where I'm like, I don't think this is really your life. If you start your first season by saying you have all of this stuff, that sets up a tricky
Well, then you have to, like, people expect you to have more later, right? Exactly. Like, we don't expect you to at any point have less. And it's going to be, like, kind of embarrassing when you don't, when you do, right? And, but, and she is, she has set herself up high. And I'm like, but I think a lot of it is that, she, like you said, she doesn't, she's not filming with housewives or, like, other people. The people who, like, who have prepped her and geared her up before she walks into a party are people who are like only confirming her beliefs. So when she walks into like this 1920s party and like she sees Mary for the 2 hours before, her assistants have been like, yeah, Mary sucks. You should curse her out, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, yeah, you're right. I should. It's like she's being pumped up by a coach. And then she goes she out is. Onto the field and then she's like, ah! And everybody's like, and she comes in really smoking hot. Like, she's just like, bam, I'm ready to fight. And everybody's like, dude, we just started the filming. Like, we're like, they're like, and she's, and it's really funny because like at the baby shower, you're watching, like, they're doing the talk and Heather's like crying and talking about like all of these women becoming mothers and like, and you can see Jen like in the back, she's sitting there and she's just like, when do I get to talk? Like you can like read it in her, but she's like, I didn't come here because I care about these pregnant girls literally at all. She's like, I came here to film and so that I can talk and like be at the center of attention. Even she does like, she goes to like two houses in episode or in the beginning of that, like episode three. And I'm like, she's on a tour in the same outfit. She's like, went to Mary's house or she went to Meredith's house. And whose house was she at the beginning? She was at someone else's house, but like in the same outfit. And then like went to go to Meredith's house. And I was like, girl, you're working hard, I see. But like, we could have at least like changed the outfit in between to make it look like you were filming these on separate days.
Oh my God.
But she's on, it's tour to Jen. And she wants everyone on like on her team.
You know what's interesting to me? I didn't expect her to be as insulted as she obviously was when Meredith was like, like, if she was as insulted by Meredith saying, like, I have to cancel our sleepover, wait until she watches the episode where her kids are like, this person is disgusting. I felt very uncomfortable. That's why you were no longer allowed to have that sleepover. Like, that's a little bit, like, I wish you waited on some of that indignation because that would have really helped you when you see the reality. But, what did you think of Brooks's reaction and Meredith's reaction to Jen's behavior and then Jen's reaction to the invite being rescinded based on no actual information to influence how upset she was? Like, both about her behavior as well as her own idea of the fact that this shows that Meredith isn't being a good enough ally.
Okay, so I adore that Brooks is like, I took off school to support my mom, when really what he means is I took off school to be on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, I was like, you came literally because you wanted to be on the show. And like,
God bless him.
And I love Brooks. Oh my God, he's so funny. And he's great because he's like, he got a confessional. I'm like, we got a gay in a confessional. This is a this is like a milestone. Like, this is like the first brick at fucking Real Housewives. Like, Brooks threw the first brick. He's great.
This is the Salt Lake City Stonewall.
And I we know, are here for and it. I think he's also played up his like distaste for what Jen did, right? Like, he's not like that. He doesn't seem to be the type of person who's actually, but he knows that it's good, that it's like good enough drama to be like, She was like being inappropriate, like just because it'll get him a little more screen time, and it worked. And then it also like creates this big rift because he puts his mom in this position where she's like, well, I have to find a reason to uninvite her. And like, all I have to say is like, my kids were, I can't say like, Brooks was disgusted because you kept screaming grinder and flashing your vagina. So I have to say that like, Chloe wants to spend time with me. And then Jen's reaction, of course, because her life is the show, right? Like, that's it. She's like, she's canceling the sleepover. And I'm like, you're a grown woman. What do you mean? You're having, like, it's like, to me, very straight. And like, she's like, I can't believe she's canceling our sleepover. I'm like, babe, you're like in your 40s. We're not, what are you talking, like, you're late 40s, right? You're freaking out about a screen, like a sleepover.
I can't imagine a sleepover that wasn't created by alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm at like, a friend's house. I don't see it.
I'm like, no. And even then, I'm like, no. If there's a cab available, like, as long as my phone is charged and I have Uber, I'm going back to my house. So she makes this big ordeal about it. But it's really just because I think that she also knows that she desperately wants to hold Meredith as like her friend, right? Mm-hmm. Like the way that like Lisa and Kyle had that, and the way that like there was like everybody like create, like there's always a good, it makes good housewife when you have two people who are like really well aligned with each other. And on this show, you don't seem to see that yet, right? Like where you, like with Nene and Kim, we were like, Nene and Kim are great. And then like to watch that fall apart was like sad, but funny and cool. And like what made part of like Atlanta great. And I think that Jen is looking for an ally because I think she knows that she's kind of out on a limb with a lot of things. So she needs to have like someone who's good, like good friend. And I don't see none of them seem to really know each other that well, which is very, like they don't know each other in the way that like early, like most beginning seasons seem to have people. Like, I'm like, you guys seem actually kind of not friends, which is working, I think, for them. But like, when we look back at like Jill and Bethany and like Ramona and Jill, like these are people, they're like, we're on the show, but like, we've been hanging out for 20 years. And like, there's no like, I didn't know you 20 years ago. Like, that's not even an option for them to say to each other. They're like, babe, I was at your house like every week. We're like, they were already a friend group. And it feels like Salt Lake City girls are not that way. I don't know, but like,
Really?
But don't you, but like, do they seem like they really know each other very well? Like, I do not believe for one second that like Heather, Meredith, and Lisa have ever hung out a day before in their lives before they like got on this show.
I think that they were friendly. Yeah, you're making some valid points. I mean, like the Bethany Jill thing, I think Bethany and Jill became very, very close while filming New York. Like prior to filming, Jill was the one I think who suggested Bethany, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And with Salt Lake City, allegedly the center. So like every franchise, there's some person who is the connector. Like, tell us your friendships, tell us your relationships, and we'll build around that. New York, to what I remember, it was Jill. Beverly Hills, it was Kyle. Like this person saying, like, I have this contact. You should, you know, even, you know, suggesting Camille.
Camille, she wasn't
a big fan of. Like, here are people who would be good on camera regardless of how close I am. Allegedly, that person on Salt Lake City was Lisa Barlow, because this wasn't
really
seen as a housewives show. It was seen as a show about women in business, which is, by the way, probably why she was so pissed at Whitney, whose name I keep forgetting, I don't know why, for talking about the Vita Tequila stuff, because she's like, don't fuck with my business. This is all about my business. But allegedly, Lisa was that person who connected people, which P.S., right? And it raises the question, I thought you didn't know Heather. How did you recommend her?
Yeah.
But I think it's related to this, like, I knew her, but I didn't, quote unquote, know her.
Yeah.
You know, like, I knew of her apparently flashing or whatever else. But, like, I wasn't close to her. So I think understanding that allegedly, and I could be completely wrong, if Lisa was the person connecting the dots with casting and production, I do think that she's close with Meredith. I think that they have a genuine close bond that we haven't seen a ton of, because it's not really like the foundation of anything. We don't necessarily need it.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily connected to any of the drama that we're seeing, but it exists. Which, you know, if it's not a Nene Kim thing, I mean, how many people could like replicate that craziness? At least we know that there was some sort of deep friendship allegedly that existed, and maybe we'll see some of that come out. Maybe we won't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Meredith kept pretty quiet during the Lisa Heather fight over the thumbs up, thumbs down. So I don't know that like Meredith's the kind of person to insert herself, but I do find it really interesting that Jen is looking at Meredith less as like a friend who hurt my feelings and more as like an ally I was going to use as a pawn who's like turned to a different queen.
You were like, I just think that she, and I don't know how long that like this fight like lasts, right? But I mean, obviously the preview for like the next episode, like Jen is like full meltdown. Like, how are you hanging out with someone who like, who married their granddad? And I'm like, okay. So I think she's more invested in this fight than she should be, because I think like we need to pick a new fight, right? Some fights are fun. Some fights are fun for like an episode or two. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hot, that was really funny and good. It's not a season long drama, right? Like, we have to create, for your storyline, you have to create something else. And I think that's like, Jen's harping on it because it is kind of ridiculous and it is funny. Like, the longer it goes on, the more ridiculous it seems to like an audience. Like, but I also think that like in 5 or 6 episodes, if we're still talking about You Smell Like a Hospital, it's not going to be good. It's not going to look good. Like, audiences aren't going to like it. And I don't think, like, people are going to like Jenna over it. So she's got to find a new storyline. And I think that's really what it is that she came in, wants to be the OG, and then didn't really have a storyline to fight. And so she's got to try and figure out how to do that. This might be one of the only seasons where we don't have a clear OG by the end of it, which is, that's okay, too, I think. That's fine.
Yeah, I think it's all about, I totally agree with you. And I also feel like it's the glory of having this kind of ensemble, which just feels honestly so unique.
They feel very different. They absolutely, right? There is a different energy watching these 6 people who like, well, because you don't know, it feels chaotic a little bit because usually you can kind of like predict some things in like housewife world. You're like, okay, I see where this is gonna go, and like I know exactly who you're gonna talk to about it, and I know exactly like where we're going to be 4 episodes from now. You can kind of predict them there, like, because you're also aware that like that the women on the show watch other seasons of the show, right? So like they're picking up cues from other people, so they see what's happening. And you know that coming in as a new franchise, when like so many franchises exist already, you're like fighting an uphill battle. Like, there's so many Housewives franchise coming in, like we're getting Salt Lake City after we've already got so many franchises to keep up with. I'm like, I don't even keep up with all of them anymore. I can't watch them. I'm like, I barely watch New Jersey anymore. I can't do it. I'm like, I can't.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like, I don't like, I right now it's like New York, Potomac, like Beverly Hills and Beverly Hills I'll watch, and Dallas I the first 2 seasons, like the first I think like season what are they on, 4 now? I think,
is it 4 or 5?
Maybe it's 4 or 5. I think I watched like the first 3 and then I was like, you guys are I don't know, like, I was like, I can't deal with this, like, Deandra thing with her mom. Like, that whole business. I was like, I'm getting bored with this. And then, like, Leanne Locken went a little for me. But they're coming in, like, new, as a new set of housewives, having probably watched all the other housewives. They've seen their, like, where it succeeds, where it fails, etc. And they've also, they're incorporating, but they also have religious beliefs that like guide a lot of their entire personalities and way of life in a way that like it doesn't that didn't happen, and it doesn't happen on other seasons that way, because their religion, it comes second to their wealth in almost every. They're like, I'm just rich. And I'm like, maybe they go to church. You see, like, a housewife go to church, like, once every, like, blue moon, because they're usually something that I say, they're bored, right? And, like, you're going to church, and, like, you're going to church because you don't have anything better to do for the show. Like, you don't have a storyline this month, so you're going to church. And they're like, nah, being a perfect Mormon is what we do, and this is, like, kind of how we live our lives. And, like, they're always, like, everything is in proximity or in the eye of the church in a different way that, like, is guided. And then they're doing that, and I'm like, they're probably all battling, like, how does our religion view us being real housewives, right? Like,
right.
They're like, I have to go to church and see people, like, LDS, like, all of, and see, like, Lisa Barlow's like, I already have a tequila company. They probably think that's bad. And she's like, I have a tequila company, and I'm on Real Housewives. Like, she thinks she's going to be Heather in a month. And, like, that's really what it is. I think that's why she also has a thing against Heather, is that, like, she probably is just, like, Heather seems a lot more free than Lisa is, who's, like, trying to keep up with this, like, appearance of being, like, a perfect Mormon, when I'm like, babe, you're not, like, you're not really nailing that. But I do love that. Like, you didn't stick the landing.
Babe, like, babe, I don't know. It's like, on the rocks. Like, much like that tequila.
Like, you're not, like, you're...
That
you're
we're pretending is top shelf.
Yeah, like, I'm like, it's not top shelf tequila. I love
it's
that.
It's not top shelf that, tequila. That. I googled it. It's $36.99.
And I love the fight over sponsored tequila, too. I'm like, you're complaining about how people drink the free tequila? Like, it's okay.
Oh,
what did you think bartenders do at these events? You think that they're sober watching you guys act a fool the whole time? Like, no, they're getting drunk, too. What are you talking about? You're paying, they're topless and you're paying them like $12 an hour. Of course they're getting wasted on the free, on your free mid-level tequila.
And also, if the fact that Whitney asked her, which it does appear that Whitney called her and was like, hey, how are you? Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm just planning for my vow renewal, but our bar is empty. What are you up to? You know, like, it does appear like she was angling for free product. If she also got free bartenders, like, my thought would be, maybe I'm totally wrong, but my thought would be, like, pay for, you know, get the booze donated, but you should pay the bartenders yourself.
Yeah.
Or get the booze donated, the bartenders come to you. It's your responsibility to say to them, I would think at the beginning of the event, like, these are, like, the rules. Like, I would prefer for you not to, and then at the end of the night, blah, blah, blah. Because for you to get everything free and then say, here are my issues with it, isn't necessarily
I don't think that Lisa,
like, I get Lisa's perspective.
Well, I don't think that Lisa got, I don't think that Lisa provided her the bartenders. I
thought she did. I thought that they were her bartenders, and Lisa was like, I'll never use them again. But I don't even know if Lisa was invited to the event.
But
is
didn't
the problem.
Lisa, but isn't Lisa, I'm sorry, was it Whitney who complained about the bartenders being drunk, or was it Lisa?
No, Whitney was like, hey, Lisa, thanks for that gift. And speaking of that gift, here are the six problems that I had with it. Like, my bar got fucked up. Your people were drunk. They also, some of my, like, high-priced rum from wherever got opened.
Yeah.
And some, and, you know, my Casamigos or whatever got, like, fucked with or something like that. And Lisa was like, cool, you asked me for all of this and now you're complaining about it. And you're also saying in some way that, like, my company is bad because I provided these people who you're saying did a disservice.
Yeah.
So, like, where's the appreciation? And you're saying this on camera.
Yeah.
And also, like, why wasn't Lisa there? Like, I would think, unless she had another event, I would think if I was providing the bar and I'm this business person, whatever else, I would be attending the event.
Yeah.
You know, if my shit was going to be donated and featured so heavily, I was surprised she wasn't there.
Well, especially considering that, like, you're on a show together, right? Like, if they're, like, you don't need to go to every event that you sponsor. She probably, like, it's Vita Tequila. I could call,
right.
I could probably
just,
call
like,
them
it
tomorrow
to
and be like, I'm throwing a party somewhere in New York, and they'd be like, sure, we'll send you a case for it. Like, whatever.
Yeah,
as long as, like, as long as our as long as our logo is on, like, a step and repeat, that's all they really care about, is that,
right.
Is sponsoring events in that way. But, like, you're on a show with this woman, so, like, you probably should have been at said event. I didn't really, for some reason, I thought Lisa was the one who was talking about, but I don't know why you're not being able to stop your staff, the people that are, like, paid to be there, or whatever, or like controlling people at your event who are working for it is not Lisa's problem, honestly.
Right? Like, I think it's good to know, so you know maybe not to work with these people anymore if they were genuinely breaking glass and like breaking into her liquor cabinet. However, this is someone who also supplied you hundreds of dollars, at least if it's for literally hundreds of people. I don't believe that, but like a lot of money's worth of free alcohol and also staffing that comes at a cost. Someone has to pay these guys. It sounds like Lisa's the one who did. So do we really want to talk about how well they were? Like, yeah. Maybe tell her that later. But also, we're so appreciative because then we get to see it on TV.
But yeah, you know? Also, like, I love that Lisa, but also Lisa is, but I love Whitney's. Honestly, I can empathize with Whitney's, like, I can connect with her decision to do, because she's like, I used you to help your, like, it's also like, I went for your brand because it was going to be gifted, but, like, I could have paid for it if it was going to be shitty. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have to use your, like, mid-grade tequila and also have your bartenders ruin my party, because if that was going to be the case, I would have just bought a bar, right? Like, I don't think that Whitney was hurting for the money to, like, have done it. Like, it's not like she was getting the gift because she couldn't afford to do it. I think there was also a level of, like, hey, we're on this show together. You, I know that you want to plug your product here. So, like, do you want to send a gift, like, to this party or whatever? Or I can just buy a bar. Either way. But I don't think that she was, like, asking because she couldn't, like, afford it or anything.
I mean, we're talking about this, and I'm just thinking. So this is obviously a Housewives franchise, regardless of how it was started. As many Housewives franchises were started, not necessarily as being a Housewives franchise, but it's become one, and it's so important to so many of us. Like, yeah. This is, like, the show right now. Like, this is the show to watch. I don't want to take away anything from that, but I'm just saying, is it possible that the reason that, like, some of us are obsessed with it is because there's a little bit, I'm like thinking this in my head as I'm saying it out loud. There's like a little bit of an energy of like the real world, Salt Lake City. Like,
yeah.
Because there's so many people forced to live together, like 8 strangers forced to live together and get to know each other and like blah, blah, blah. I used to have that memorized. I always assumed I was going to audition for it and I absolutely did not because it became something different by the time I was of age. But there is that kind of vibe of like these are friends, they know each other, whatever, and it's Housewives and it's escapist. But it is also like one person is the archetype for this personality trait. Then there's somebody else who's diametrically opposed, and there's somebody else who's diametrically opposed, and then there's somebody else who's very different from their cousin, but they're both on it. But like there's an interesting thing because they're so different. Like it does feel like any personality type that I could ever want or background. It's not even the person. Here's the difference is that it's not even the personality type. It is the fucking background.
Yeah.
We have a Jew who converted to Mormonism. We have a Mormon who converted to being a Muslim. We have whatever Pentecostal Mary who married her step-grandfather who's got a lot going on. I want to hear more about the son. Like there's so much different shit that's happening that's like unrelated to even the friendships. Like,
oh,
there's
yeah,
just
absolutely.
Meredith's
their
fucking
lives,
secretly separated. Their, like, their lives are so
their
different.
Lives, their lives as people, honestly, are like, if I had the background that most of these people, I would not put it on reality television, right? Like, going, and you're like, I'm a woman who married my step-granddaddy for a lot of money. Like, that is something I would never want millions of people
it's
to know
lot.
About, right? Like, I would it's take my money, let the people in my community know and judge me for it, whatever. But it, like, I'd still be rich and in private, right? Like, if you're, like, excommunicated, like, billionaire divorcee from the Church of Latter-day Saints, like, I would not be, like, who's running, like, a, like you said, a health spa with needles. I would not be, like, hi, yeah, sign me up for television. But they all said yes, which makes them, you're right. You're absolutely right. It is background. It's that they all came into this, like, should have done that, right? Like, every other housewife, like, even if we look at, like, the housewife structure of most of the other ones, I mean, the good background, like, Jersey had, like, crazy background, which made it really, like, when it started, which was, like, great. There was, like, there was a big family dynamic to it that was, like, and, like, super dramatic. But most of the other women, their background was, like, I'm rich. Like, that was, like, they didn't have, like, some big, like, Heather, like Kyle and Kim Richards. Mm-hmm. You didn't really know. They're like, we're famous child stars, and we're rich. Lisa Rinna is like, mm-hmm. I'm a rich woman. Like, it's just, like, people being rich, they don't have, like, some really weird story that's, like, already fucked up bringing them to the show. What brought them to the show was that they were rich and bored. These people are, like, rich damaged and shouldn't be on television. And they're like, let's all be on TV together. I'm so glad that mm-hmm. they are, too. But when we looked at, like, the beginning of, like, even New York, they were just rich. That's it. Jill Zarin's like, I'm rich and I'm bored, so we're going to have to be on this show.
Having a secret wasn't the key to entry.
Yeah.
And on Salt Lake City, it feels like the admission ticket.
Everybody's got a secret. Everybody's got some weird secret. It's going to be wild. I'm very excited for this. I'm also excited for after watching this, I'm like, how do you recruit a new housewife into this, right? I'm like,
can you imagine? They're going to be eaten alive and we're going to watch it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Bravo TV exclusive or on the app. You're going to become a Bravo insider and you're going to watch somebody be disemboweled halfway into season two. Like, I will pay any money. You can have all of my emails.
I was like, you're going to have to shake it up. And I'm like, who's going to be the new crazy rich Mormon that comes? Like, who's crazy enough to join this? I'm like,
or who's crazy enough to join this knowing what these women have done?
Like,
it's bad enough that, like, maybe you'll be frowned upon in your friend group, IRL, in whatever community in Utah. But now it's like, now you know that, like, one of your cast members married her, like, maybe the guy who was her Santa Claus at, like, family Christmas. Like, it's possible. Like, it's like,
and bringing someone in crazy. after the drama that's, like, going to erupt on this season, right? I'm like, because there's, like, I mean, they had to record, like, if I'm correct, I don't know, but someone told me that there was, like, that they were, like, recording the show and that it got put off because, like, things got a little too, like, things were, like, too crazy in Salt Lake or something like that. And, like, they were, like, are we going to be able to, like, Bravo didn't want to air. I don't know. It was, like, a blog thing that somebody was talking about how they'd been recording the show and then they, like, recorded more, they went back and recorded more stuff because, like, so much of it, because it was just, like, so messy and over the top. They were like,
oh
yeah, it's like, apparently
I don't feel like Jen Shah is involved in that.
I'm sure she was.
That's really interesting. Do I feel like there's some sort of physical altercation that happens this season? Why do I feel like
that's what I'm talking about? Like, somebody said, like, there was, like, a fight.
But I don't remember anything about it.
I don't remember anything about it really either. I just know that, like, a friend of mine was talking, and they were like, Salt Lake City's, like, off the hinges, apparently. And they had read it in a blog that, like, it goes kind of, like, really, really wild. Which I'm very excited about. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. How could they get me more?
I can't wait.
Can I ask you one quick question before we skidooed? Which is, speaking of altercations, whose side, Monique v. Candace, v. everybody else?
I'm kind of team Monique, if we're being honest. I got time to talk about
Potomac. We have to be honest.
Like, let's talk.
Tell me your thoughts and feels.
I am team Monique, only because Candace, she plays too much, and I'm like, you have antagonized her for this is like the second season now, right, where, like, this person was your friend, and for some reason, whatever it is, and I think it's because Candace feels more comfortable arguing with Monique because she knew her really well, right? So, like, when you have a friend and you kind of know how they're going to react and the type of person that they're going, and you know what they're like when they're mad, you know what they're like in a fight, all of that. Candace is, like, I don't like Candace generally. And then she's, like, adds on to it, like, this, like, consistent, like, antagonizing of Monique. And Monique lost it. And I'm like, I would have lost it too. Like, she's been a pain in her side the entire time. And then, like, Candace is, like, carrying on about it. I'm like, she didn't, like, murder you. She pulled your hair. Like, she didn't punch you in the, like, she pulled your hair. And I'm like, listen, Portia literally dragged Kenya across a reunion floor. They had New Jersey had like a big brawl at like at a christening.
Oh my God, that christening brawl was the most violent thing we've ever seen on Bravo TV.
It was insane.
Absolutely times a thousand. That christening was fucking wild.
Like insane. So I'm like, I was like, this hair pulling is not like you're calling the cops. Like, what's going on? Like, you're like, it's just too much. I don't like Candace because I think she's making it. And I'm like, can we just move on with the show now? Like, you and Monique clearly don't like each other. That's fine. Y'all, maybe it's going to be difficult. And I also don't like the way that all the other, like, Robin and Giselle, they're fake as fuck. Because they are the two biggest instigators in the whole show. Mm. And they're like, we cannot believe you did that. And I'm like, Robin, I'm like, Giselle, y'all are awful. And I'm like, the reason that they get away with it, because, like, she wore that, like, shirt, that, like, free Uncle Ben shirt, like, all that shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, if Karen were a younger woman, Giselle would have got hit at that table. I'm like, you get away with it because the person that you're picking on is usually Karen Huger. And so you're picking on, like, a much older woman who's, like, not about to fight. But I'm like, had that been Monique or someone else, Giselle would have got dragged. Because Giselle, they're siding with Candace because they are Candace. And they understand that. Like, they are that as a gal, like, the two of them are spend all their time, like, poking and pushing and trying to get people upset just so that they can, like, make them look silly and then like, play themselves as the victim. And I'm like, no, I don't like that.
Aside from some of her inquisitive questions the last couple episodes, you would put Robin in that bucket? I get Giselle, but Robin?
Well, they're like peas in a pod, Robin and Giselle. They're like they're like always encouraging each other, and mm-hmm. I'm like, and Robin goes in that bucket for me because, like, if you back and support Giselle's behavior, then, like, I don't really want to hear your opinion on Monique losing it on Candace, because Giselle is just Candace in a different wig. Like, they are the same, right. Like, they're the same girl. They do the same thing. They push the same buttons. And then I think, like, now Robin is, I love that, like, she's pushing back on Jamal. And they're like, you don't bring your man around. Like, it's very weird, blah, 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 blah. And I'm excited to see that because I'd like to see Robin and Giselle, like, fight and fall out, honestly. I think that would make...
You would?
I think that it would make
Caleb
the show...
Henry.
I think the show would be so much... I think it would be so much better if they were... Like, imagine Robin and Giselle on opposite sides of something.
It will never happen.
Never. But, like, imagine it, how much better this show would be. Like, how good would this show be if we could sever those two and have them, like, fighting with each other, like, in a disagreement? Because then it blows up everything, right? Like, all the alliances change. Everything has to change if the two of them are on opposite sides of an issue. Karen Huger is having her best season this season, which is good for
best
her.
Best season.
I'm like, you're killing it, babe. She's like on top of the world. Everybody else, I love there. It's so good, but I'm like over the fight drama. I'm like, we need to do something else. Ashley Darby, that is a mess. But she's pregnant again. They're like,
she is. She's having another baby boy.
Yeah,
she just announced it.
Yeah, I'm like, so she's
Michael Jr.
Between, like, Michael, I'm like, you need to divorce. Mm-hmm. Michael must be very wealthy. Like, that's what I'm like.
I think he has, like, 20 mil, I want to say, or something crazy. Like, in actual money. Not housewives money where you say you have $100 million and you have $475. Like,
yeah.
He has actual wealth tied up in his, like, real estate stuff.
And so I'm like, the money must really be there for you to be sent, because I'm like, you're gorgeous. You're what, 30 years old? I was like, and
she's so young.
And you're putting up with like this 60-year-old fuckboy. Like, what's going on? I'm like, he's like running around, sleeping around, taking people back to the hotel, and you're like, you're calling him stressed out about like, can you get home to our child that we have? And he's like, I can't talk to you, and hanging up on you. What? It's wild. I just like couldn't imagine being 30 and putting up with that. Like that is...
I'm nervous for her in like the next couple episodes, because all of this is coming out that she gave, I don't even know what the phrase is. I don't know if it's technically a character statement or something, but as Giselle and Robin said, it's less about what Ashley, the way that Ashley is saying it, it's less about Ashley like lifting up Monique and testifying and echoing Monique's good character, and more about Candace's bad behavior as a defense. But I don't know if it's what lawsuit it's being used in. I don't know if it's, it doesn't sound like it's being used by her attorney in the charges filed by Candace. It would make sense if it was being used in like the counter charges or counter suit. But regardless, I mean, that's very, very tricky territory. And these women are going to attempt to like tear her apart for making that decision, regardless of how you feel about it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to have a tough couple episodes.
Yeah. It's not going to be nice for her, I think. But I think also she did it knowing that like it, well, someone has to come to Monique's defense, or Monique's not on the show anymore, right? Really, like that's right. where it seems that we're at with this. Is like, how do we keep Monique, or is this the end of Monique because she pulled Candace's hair? And like if we're gonna get rid of someone, it shouldn't be like, I don't care if Monique did the wrong thing, Candace should still go.
I totally agree with you. I think Candace is actually the most toxic, one of the most toxic housewives of all time.
Yeah,
genuinely, judging by her behavior online and like even what she said about Ashley when Ashley was heavily pregnant, like that we've never really.
Yeah,
she is so reactive person. And so abusive and toxic.
Like,
yeah,
I'm like, you're a nasty person, and you got what, and like Monique gave you what you deserve, because honestly, she needed it. Because I think that and even worse, it hasn't made her better, right? And like, you think that like Monique like pulling your hair and like almost beating the shit out of you might make you change, but it's honestly made her you seem to double down on your behavior, which is
exactly.
I'm like, you don't like, even if someone hits you, right? Like the idea is always like, people are like, violence not the answer, blah blah blah, whatever. I'm like, but what did you do? Like, do you take any responsibility for the fact that like you got this person so upset, and you've been doing, and it's not like you got her upset in 45 minutes. This is literally 2 seasons of you like coming after her at every turn and coming after everyone. And she is a really toxic person. I don't like Candace. I have never really fucked with her. Like, even in the beginning when she was like, when she had like first come in and she was friends with Moni, I still didn't like her then. Something was always off to me. And she's bad vibes. She's really bad vibes.
Excuse me. Do you think Monique will be back? I don't know.
I don't know. She's also, she don't need this show. She's like,
she so does not need this show.
She's like, I don't need it. I'm rich. I have my babies and I have my man. I don't think that she really needs that. I think that this show was like fun for Monique to do, but I don't think that she's invested in housewife culture enough to where like to where she'll come back and want to like, or even that they'll want to have her back. But I just think that like getting rid of Candace is really like, I get rid of Candace and bring somebody new in. The problem is with Potomac is I'm like, I don't know how many people are like willing to sign up for that. But I think they need a cast reshake for sure. They need a new housewife, at least one. Someone else to focus on.
Yeah, and I feel like everything that I'm hearing coming out of the reunion, which just filmed, is like, it was very intense, yada, yada, yada. And I'm nervous that it was very intense on Monique's side because she's considering it her, like, swan song, and she wants to, you know, go out swinging, for lack of a better phrase. Like, I'm nervous that she's, like, leaving everything there, you know, yada, 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 like, really, really fighting back. And it's because she doesn't want to do this anymore, which I can appreciate. It's definitely not fun for her in the way that it ever was prior.
Yeah.
But I would love for her to stay. I do agree. I just think Candace is so toxic that there's nowhere to go from this. I don't want to see Candace going through her motherhood journey. I think that's just going to be really tough because of her relationship with her mom. I just think it's going to be like really intense in a way that we don't necessarily, you know, need to see. And Potomac is such a strong franchise, like maybe the strongest as far as like an existing franchise. It just produces on a level that's superior and probably more organic than anybody else.
Yeah, their drama is very real. And that's right. What, like, everybody, all of their drama that's unfolding is super, super real. And none of it is like, It's not really manufactured or like having to take like
Right.
one thing you said like out of context and making it a big fight in the way that like a lot of other franchises have kind of like become that way, unfortunately, where they're like, we have to take this like little bit of you doing this one thing and make it like a whole, like Denise Richards has to make a whole episode, like 3 episode arc out of the fact that someone was talking about threesomes near her child. And I'm like, babe, we don't care about this. Like, this is not like, no, like this is not a thing for us to like really, especially, and like you're Denise Richards. Your children, like you're, it's like their dad is Charlie Sheen. I don't think that like hearing the word threesomes is gonna send them off of a cliff, right? Like they're not, like that's not the thing that's gonna send them in the wrong direction. So it seems.
Were you Team Denise or you weren't Team Denise? You were Team Everybody Else? You're giving me Team Everybody Else vibes right now, Philip Henry, and I don't appreciate it, but I want to hear more.
I kind of wasn't Team Denise. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like you weren't, is what I'm getting.
I liked Denise Richards, but I was not Team Denise. I was like, girl, get up. Like, you're gonna like cease and desist the whole, like because they're talking about things that you don't like that are true though, right? Like that's the thing. I'm like, you're on this show. These things are true. Why are you like, you came on this show. The drama was going to happen and unfold. I do not, I just generally don't like anyone on these shows that tries to shut down an aspect of the
Right, talking
show
about the show.
or
Yeah, I
talking
hear
on
you.
the show and on because it's something that they deem too embarrassing for them, right? I'm like, well, you should not have come on the show, right? Because that, like, eventually all the drama is going to come out, whatever it is. And if you don't like it, and so many people have like have gone through it and bear through it, and it actually they turn out better for it, right? Like you said, like Teresa went to jail, came back, and then like people like seemed a lot more reasonable. But she didn't try and shut down people talking about she didn't try and shut down people talking about the fact that like her and her husband were about to go to jail. Like
Well, she didn't love it, I'll say that.
she
Yeah,
didn't love it, but
she wasn't sending him any papers. I think her lawyers were already pretty busy as it was. Yeah.
yeah, like they were
You
like,
know
we're
what I'm
not
saying?
close.
Like, she's not adding on a billable hour.
Exactly. Like they're like, babe, we can't focus on that. But like everyone who's gone through something on the show that like is like pretty embarrassing, and like lots of the women have, they just like go through it. And Denise literally wanted to shut it all down, blame all of her castmates for talking about it. And I'm like, nobody. And like this is honestly good, fun drama to me. I'm like this. I was like, you and Brandy, like this is. This could have been your, this could have made you a star on this show. You could have been like, I can't believe she's telling people this, but like, let's not act like it didn't happen because I don't think that, I just don't see like Brandy making it up. It just seems like so, like, it's very, very strange. I was team everybody else. I was not team Denise. I really wasn't.
Wow, some takes from Philip
I
Henry
was not team
that
Denise.
I am gonna unpack in my head for the next hour. Philip Henry, you need to come back during the Potomac reunion cycle because I want to hear
Okay.
your thoughts on Ashley v. Everyone Else, and I love talking to you. Can you tell the people how to follow you online and support your work, writer, comedian Philip Henry?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Major Celebrity. And yeah, I'm always tweeting about Housewives. I was
Love
tweeting
that.
about Housewives before I came to before we started to record this. I
Oh
was
my
like,
God, I need to see those.
Whitney is it. They're living. I'm living for. They have everything. This season has everything. I cannot wait for more RHOFLC. I'm honestly sad now because like they released episode 3 early, so we're not getting a new episode probably for like 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm not
I
gonna
know,
until
which is a
after.
downer.
Which like, I'm like, you're telling me I have to wait till after Thanksgiving to like to see this Roaring Twenties
No.
party and see Jen Shah's meltdown. It's really, really
It's
sad.
a downer. Hopefully they leak something. I don't know if they will, but I would appreciate it if they were. Bravo gods, if you're listening. Guys, I put up a full Patreon hour-long exclusive Patreon episode of Andy's Girls with the Talk of Shame, Kiki from the Talk of Shame, talking a lot, deep dives into Salt Lake City and Southern Charm, among other
Ooh.
places. So look for that Andy's Girls patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Always good to remember the link, which will also be in the show notes for this week's episode. And, you know, it's the number one way to support AG and yours truly and me buying a pair of shoes and sometimes paying my rent. And you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Tons of Housewives polls, IG stories, scoop, blind items during the week, as well as some amaze photos and videos from BravoCon, never before seen. And guys, hopefully everybody has a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully staying wherever you currently
please
are.
Please stay home. Oh
please
my God.
Please stay home. And we can't wait to talk to you soon. Philip Henry, what which housewife are you, just top of mind, they don't even have to be on TV, which housewife are you right now most thankful for this Thanksgiving? Who is getting your Thanksgiving mazel?
Luann Delisette. I'm always thankful for Luann. She's my favorite housewife.
Oh my God, I love that. And I'm just going to say, because we've been talking about Salt Lake City, I really am very thankful for Heather Gay. And so I'm just going to say happy Thanksgiving turkey mazel to, or tofurkey mazel rather, to my new spiritual queen, Heather Gay. And guys, stay safe, wear a mask. We can't wait to talk to you again soon. I'm putting up a second Patreon episode this weekend, so look forward to that, a deeper dive into all things Potomac and a crazy blind item about a Beverly Hills housewife. And we'll talk to you later, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye. Thank you.